Hey.
Welcome back. Midday Show. It is a celebration.
It's a party.
It's a celebratory day. A Sixers victory. We got a series here. 2-1 heading into game four on Sunday. And one leg of the draft down. Just one. I like that how he said that last. They got a lot of work to do. Starts tonight. Pick 50, pick 53 for the Philadelphia Eagles. I'll give you my big board for tonight coming up in a little bit and your phone calls coming up. But we did do a mock-off the other day. And I got to be totally honest. I heard you last night, Hugh, on the draft show when I left, and seemed like you had kept track of your picks. Like you knew what you had done.
Oh, Joe, so, it was so bad.
Okay, but I got to be honest with everyone. I wrote my mock down the other day when we did our mock-off on one of my show papers. And then the show ended, and I threw my paper out.
No, I kept mine.
And I know you did.
Shows how much you cared.
Well, no, it's not that I was recycling, okay? I'm trying to save the planet.
Trying to save the tree.
Well,
don't blame environmentally consciousness.
All right, here's what happened. Most of my notes for the show I put in my phone, like the notes app. This one I wrote down, so I didn't keep it. Anyway, and we do so many mocks. I read so many mocks. Kyle, you could totally lie to me right now and tell me I picked everything wrong or right. I don't remember. I mean, I know I did Caleb Williams 1,
yes.
And I did Daniels 2. Mm-hmm. Think I had May 3. But I really don't know if I did well, terrible last night. So give us the results here. Who won our mock-off?
All right, so I went through excruciating detail this morning.
Good thing someone kept
in here, yep. Going through the scoring, and I came up with what I thought was a fair scoring system because there's a lot of things you have to factor in, right? Like the position, the player, mm-hmm. the team that's there, whether or not they traded or whether they stayed, all that good stuff. So just a few quick thoughts before I reveal the winner here. You both nailed the top two. You both had Caleb Williams.
All right.
And you both had Jaden Daniels. Now, gets a little bit funky because Mr. Joe Giglio, smarty pants over here, thought he was going to go flying off the board with all these trades.
Well, that's what I heard was going to
so
happen.
He got crazy.
And then nothing happened.
Joe listened
hold
to
him. You was trading, folks? Oh, yeah, that's right. You was trading,
Joe listened
folks.
To his sources who led him astray.
They lied.
And he went with a lot of trades. Now, here's where it gets a little dicey, because Hugh had the Pats staying, taking a quarterback. Joe had the Giants moving up to get the correct quarterback.
So I had the guy in the right spot.
You had the guy in the right spot.
Wrong team.
Wrong team.
Hugh had both wrong.
You had position and team.
Ooh, okay.
So that was, I thought, I said even.
Okay.
On that one.
Sure.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And sure, look, Hugh, I was trying to be generous for you.
I appreciate it.
I mean, all
it.
I heard is that I hit the first three picks, name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, it got a little bit tougher after that. I will say Hugh, like, randomly nailed, like, the number 10 overall pick, like, just out of nowhere.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
Fuaga?
Yes. No. Sorry. The it wasn't 10. It was the whoever got the Penn State
tackle. Yes, right.
Yes.
Whatever his name is.
Fuashu or something crazy. Yeah. So Hugh got that
Jets
one.
Got him.
Yep.
The Jets got him.
Yeah.
Really what tipped the scales in one of your favors was getting the Eagles pick correct.
Yeah, that on was, the nose. Definitely was
so it had to be me. Now
the
I,
name.
Hugh picked Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
So
the winner of the mock-off is Mr. Joe Giglio.
I picked Quinyon Mitchell
picked
to the
Quinyon
Eagles.
You picked Quinyon Mitchell to the Birds.
And forgot about it a day later. All right, so do
good
I get
job.
A trophy
great
or
job
something?
By you. No, you get
plaque?
No pick. You get nothing.
This trophy.
Wait a second.
You get a good, hearty
no,
good
no,
job.
No, hold on.
You know what? Shut up.
The afternoon show's got the Insider of the Year thing. That's a big award.
I don't give a shit.
We need to put a plaque up in here for the mock-off of the year.
What did the Insider of the Year get?
I don't know. What does the Insider of the Year get?
Not a damn thing.
Well, right now, Howard
that's
Eskin
exactly
is
right.
pulling away. I mean, Howard.
Yeah, Howard killed that.
He reported the AJs.
He did. That was yeah, he nailed that. He also said 0% chance the Eagles stuck around at 22. Wrong right. about that.
Okay.
But,
I think that's a dot to half a point on the AJ.
But the AJ thing, he killed the AJ thing. Though.
So let me throw this in about Howard. I mean, I give Howard a lot of credit for breaking the news that they were talking extension. But why didn't he follow through and nail the moment it happened like Ian Rapoport did? I mean, Howard was on the air last night as they were finalizing that deal. He could have said, breaking news, the Eagles and AJ Brown have an extension.
You know what he also
he
did?
Do that.
He said, He took the coward's way out and didn't name a guy in the draft and said pick the best player available.
Well, he does that all the time.
Of course.
Last year he wrote down
two
names
saying.
In the envelope.
I'm
remember
just
that?
Saying.
So are you saying Howard's not the Insider of the Year? Or
no. I think as of right now he should be. Now this isn't my place to judge. They'll do the rankings on the afternoon show. If I had my druthers, he'd be number one still. But I do think he gets docked a point from last night for that behavior.
So who would you?
I would
who
say
is,
AJ's
it's
worth
him and D-Gun, though, right?
It's, yeah,
they were
yeah,
near
between
the top.
Those two. Neck they were neck, tied yeah. at number one. I would say the AJ thing is worth like 3 points in my book, and then he gets docked one off of that for all the other nonsense.
Okay, all right, we'll keep a track here. I mean, what's the next big Eagles thing to come? Maybe like a trade of Bradbury or release? I mean, who's going to have that information?
Well, somebody can, like, if somebody really wants to get their neck out there, day two's tonight.
Tell me who they're going to pick.
That's exactly right.
I want to know who's coming to 50 and 53. I have my big board. We'll unveil that before the end
of the
show.
And, look, if Elliott were to come in and say, I know who the Eagles are going to pick on day two, tougher than day one.
Way tougher.
He could swoop in and you know, throw some elbows in.
I see you trying to throw it out there. I don't think he's going to step up to the plate and do that, though.
You know what?
I don't think he could luck into a home run?
No, I don't think he got it in.
I know the next big thing for the insider rankings. The schedule release. Who's the home opener?
That's good.
Week two. We know the Brazil game's week one. That's isn't that coming up like a week or two from right now? Oh, I can't wait for schedule release.
Ooh, win-loss Wednesday?
I think it is a top 10 non-sports day of the year.
It's
like,
so fun.
I love it. It's the best. Let's go to the phones here. Gabe is on the cell. Hey, Gabe.
Gabe.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Gabe? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm so happy that the Sixers pulled it through because I was ready to come on here and shot off like a cannon if they lost that one as well. So I was going to destroy him.
If Embiid got thrown out, I was going to kill him. I mean, that would have been ridiculous. Fortunately, he was not thrown out, and he scored 50.
I genuinely think that the flagrant one was kind of the rest kind of giving us the benefit of the doubt, because when you do actually, you know, look back on it, it was a little bit of a questionable play. He claimed that it was because he didn't want the guy to fall on him before. He kind of got, like, you know, scared. But, yeah, he wrapped up. The optics didn't look good. I'm sure he meant well, but I'm glad that he was able to escape with just a flagrant one. And they won, so I can slumber peacefully at least until Sunday.
Yes. But, we have a series now to watch. Gabe, what did you think of the Eagles and what they did last night?
Yeah, so I actually wanted to call in and give Hugh his flowers on the mindset, because, yeah, you definitely saw, at least with this draft, that defense is a luxury, man. Offense is where it's at. Like, offense is a necessity, and kudos to Howie for setting up the team the way that he set it up going at least into this year's draft, because you saw how everyone was kind of scrambling for those primary offensive players. And I think it was either Nick Saban or Belichick that was on the program last night talking about, like, how a lot of these teams really do need help at those primary positions. That's why you saw a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of wide receivers, offensive tackles that need to protect those quarterbacks kind of come off the board first, early in the first round, and then have those defensive players, the cornerbacks, come later in the first round. I mean, no, nothing against them, nothing, you know, that they fell because of skill level or whatever. It's just the way that the league is set up right now, you unfortunately just have a lot of teams that are struggling on the offensive side, and we're not one of those teams, fortunately. So now we're able to have that luxury where we can have one of the best cornerbacks in that draft fall to us in the 20s, which is, I mean, kind of unheard of, because usually those cornerbacks get swooped up first, like the top 10 or top 15.
It's so almost like being able to zig when everyone's zagging. Yeah, it's a good point. Like, because the Eagles have such a set offense, they could sit there and say, all right, you guys all take the offensive players. We'll just wait for the fifth or sixth best defensive player in the whole draft, or maybe it was like the fourth, whatever Quinion was. Like, you know, we'll just wait for one of the top five defensive players in the whole draft at 22. It's a good spot to be.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, before I had one question for you guys. I know you guys had touched on this now that we're heading into the second and, you know, later rounds of the draft. The chance of getting Jeremiah Trotter Jr., I mean, it's a fairy tale. You know, you love it. It's great. If you do end up getting him, do you think that's extra pressure on him to perform in the city, considering, you know, the bloodline that he comes from? And if he doesn't perform, do you think that not necessarily strains the relationship between the Trotters and the Eagles, but is it worth taking that risk? Basically, is what I'm asking. I know you guys have touched on this before, but do you think it's really worth having somebody in there to someone of that caliber, considering the trade-off of what might happen if things go wrong?
I think you read way too much into it.
I think that
if Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles, he's going to be expected to do his job just like his dad did his job. And if he doesn't, then he has to face all the ridicule that anybody else would face.
You know,
he didn't do his job.
I actually think the pressure and the weight of it would be more on the Eagles than him for this reason.
To have him be successful.
Yeah, and I'm going to use a different sport example, but I remember Ryan Sandberg was the manager here with the Phillies, one of the worst managers I've ever seen. Ryan Sandberg was a joke. But he was with the Cubs in their minor league system, and people thought he'd be the next Cubs manager. And I remember reading that they didn't want to hire him, Hugh, because they didn't want to have to fire him. Sometimes organizations don't want to have someone and that everyone loves, and this would be the son of someone everyone loves, right? He's just a kid. But because eventually you have to make a hard decision on that person. Or what if they fail? It's like, do I think the Eagles wouldn't take Jeremiah Trotter Jr. because they don't want to have to cut him one day? No, I'm not saying that. But It's hard because, Hugh, he would be expected to play well, but there, guess what the pressure would also be?
On the Eagles?
Yeah, to play him. Imagine if they're starting Nakobe and they're starting Devin White.
And he's not playing.
He's not playing. And let's say those guys are only playing okay. People would be screaming, get
put him
on the field.
Yeah, put Trout in. Put a little Trout in.
It's a little bit – I think it's actually – if I was a GM, I don't know if I'd love the whole son of a star player thing on the team because it feels – especially in the city, it feels like it just creates a whole thing.
That – you know what, man? It's highly unlikely that that would happen. That's a pipe dream. Because it's you know, just like when John Runyon's son got drafted. He went to the Packers.
Right.
Like, it's highly unlikely.
Well, they also had a chance to get in this offseason. He was a free agent. He went to the Giants.
Yeah, and that's probably one of the reasons why. You know, you don't want that heat.
So, I also think their draft position tonight makes it unlikely he'll be here. So, they have the 2 second-round picks. They don't have a third-round pick. When you start looking at the mocks for tonight and, you know,
he's mocked
day two,
in the third.
He's mocked in that spot where they don't have a pick. So it feels like, and I could be wrong. I mean, when you start getting into the 50s.
Stranger things can happen.
Yeah, it's beauty's in the eye of the beholder. But I'm not seeing many picks where mocks where he's picked in the Eagles range. I keep seeing him picked in this third round, late third. They don't have a pick there. So it almost might work out where he's just not really in their range.
You know what's funny? If anything, and I don't know, and I'm just saying this, I don't actually know their needs. But I can see him Baltimore, Kansas City, something like that.
Well, Baltimore did lose Patrick Queen this offseason.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you can see him in like a Baltimore, maybe Kansas City, maybe an extension of some of Coach Reed's guys, Buffalo maybe. I don't know what Buffalo needs. I'm just throwing different places out there where he could potentially land. Yeah. So I don't see him being here in Philadelphia. I don't.
It would be fun though. I mean, if Howie wants to get everyone excited. I mean,
it would be great for him because then, man, listen, if I'm Young Trot, I'm not buying a place. I'm staying at home. I'm staying at the crib.
I just
with Pops.
Don't you kind of feel like they would need more of a force in that linebacker spot? If you're going him and Nakobe, that's a little stubby.
Little stubby.
So to the point of where he might get picked. So I just pulled up Bleacher Report has a day two mock, right? His spot tonight is number 95, bottom of the third round, Buffalo Bills. That's the projection for him tonight.
If the Bills ever make a pick, I mean.
Well, I know. And so, but that's around where the Eagles swapped the pick with the Steelers for Kenny Pickett. Like, so if they had a third round pick tonight,
probably could have been here.
It could have been it. But they could also move around. Like, they don't have to pick at 50 and 53 tonight. They could drop back to the third round. We'll see what Howie does. Jake's in Delco. Thank what's you. Up, Jake?
Jake.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up,
Jake?
Jake?
Jake. Sorry, Kyle.
No, it's all
right. Hey, I've been on hold for a long time.
I know. We're happy to get you on.
Well, you know, Kyle, you better knock it off. Rasheed Wallace, I get it, man. I remember he was a legend.
Keep your mouth down and shut, boy.
All right, well, we got 17 minutes left in the show, Kyle. 16. You going to keep going?
I think he's done.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's done.
Want to play with me?
Just like that. Okay.
So, he's better. So I feel bad for OG Wade today because at the moment when AJ signed that contract, all of his harebrained theories about how Howie had told AJ just be quiet, sit back, and we got a trade lined up for you. Don't worry. You remember that whole thing?
How could I forget? Yeah,
I don't. Yeah. Could you refresh my memory?
Yeah, but OG thought that that AJ played his last game in an Eagles uniform at the end of last season.
Okay.
Yeah, so him and Marcus Hayes can eat a nice bowl of crow today because Marcus Hayes, with that stupid article, he wears number 11 and beats headphones, and he's from the pit of hell. His name is it. Remember that article in the Inquirer?
I don't remember that line, but I remember the idea of the article.
I added that at the end. But He said it. I don't like when these guys – I get it, he's a reporter, but he said it in such a declarative sense. Like, you know. Like, you're the fly on the wall in there, and you know. But so – obviously, I just don't like Marcus Hayes very much.
Well, he's a columnist. He's writing a column. He's got an opinion. His job's having an opinion. That's all.
Marcus
is a good guy. Yeah. But go ahead.
But I love Joel Embiid. You know, we had Isaiah Thomas had the sprained ankle game. You know, Carson Wentz threw the touchdown on a blown out knee. And then Jordan had the flu game. And now Embiid had the Bell's palsy game. It's, almost said
what?
Balls.
Yeah, I know you did. It's the Bell's Palsy series. I mean, that's because I don't think this thing just goes away overnight. This is the Bell's Palsy series.
Really, is that really what we want to name the series?
Well, he went with the flu game.
I mean, so you're looking at me with a straight face.
I'm down with the Bell's
Y'all
Palsy.
Okay with this?
Now, if they win. They lose.
Yeah. Was that intended double entendre there when you said looking at me with a straight face because Joel Embiid can't look with a straight face?
That right there is just
he way, went next level.
No, that was just way
that's
disrespectful.
It was clever. That's, Jake, we appreciate it.
I can't believe you guys, man. Don't laugh at that. Don't think that's clever. That's
I mean, you went there. You went there.
I didn't go there. No, I was like the way he tied it in, you got to give him props for that.
No, it's good.
Still,
yeah.
It's not. You don't want to go there, man.
So you don't want to call it the Bell's palsy?
No.
Series.
No.
But Joel Embiid has the virus.
He does.
It's not like we're making it up.
It just makes it sound
way worse.
If they lose, then the Bell's palsy series has a much worse connotation to it. If they win, then it's something we look back fondly on.
The more you say it, the more people are going to go with it.
This is how we breathe life into things, Hugh.
Oh, my gosh. The Bell's palsy series. Okay.
I mean, that's.
I'm going to stop saying it because I know y'all, we got some childish.
The more you say it, the more it becomes a thing.
Yes, it does.
Well, that's childish.
It was pretty clever, though.
Are you ready for my big board? I got a big board for tonight. All right. 10 players, and I got two picks now. So 10 players that I would be very happy if they walked away from with tonight. All right. Number one, I'm not running from this. I'm doubling down. Cooper DeJean. I can't believe I wasn't picked in the first round. Shocked. I don't think he'll be there at 50 tonight. I'd guess he's going to go pretty early in the second round, but he's number one on my big board, as he was yesterday. Number two, Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker, Texas A&M. Number three, Peyton Wilson, linebacker, NC State. Number four, Junior Colson, linebacker, Michigan. You guys sense the theme here? Get a linebacker.
Yeah, I hear it.
Because they absolutely need one. All right. Number five, we're going with Roger Rosengarten, offensive tackle from Washington. He played along with Fontanu there at Washington. That offensive line didn't get Penix touched. I like him. Let's put him five on this list. All right. Number six. I know they already drafted a corner yesterday, but we got a call earlier about a slot corner. There's another one. Max Melton, a nickel from Rutgers. I'm fine if they draft another corner. Fix the whole D-back room because they stunk last year. I'm not married to any of these guys.
Yeah, we might have some cover guys back
there. Yeah, let's cover. Let's cover somebody. Okay. Number seven. Jerzon Newton, defensive tackle, Illinois. We saw him in the first round a lot of mocks. He slipped out. If he's there, maybe a defensive tackle that could actually rush the quarterback because they only have one of those guys right now with Jalen Carter. And then I got a couple receivers and an edge rusher. Number eight, Jalen Polk, wide receiver, Washington. Number nine, Ladd McConkey, wide receiver, Georgia. I think he was the one here where you were shocked to see him as a first-round guy in some of those mocks, Ladd McConkey, the receiver from Georgia. But he can go tonight as a slot guy in round two. And my number 10 player tonight, Mohamed Kamara, edge rusher, Colorado State. I feel like he might be the kind of guy we look up in a couple of years. I'm like, he had 12 sacks. Where was he drafted? The second round? I think he can play, and he could be available tonight for the Eagles. So there's my big board. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. We opened the show earlier with the Twitter question up of which event from last night are you more excited about, the Sixers win or the Eagles getting Quinyon Mitchell in the draft? Pretty close poll. 52% more excited for Quinyon Mitchell. 48% on a Sixers victory in game number three. Let's go to Dwayne in Pensacola. Hey, Dwayne.
Dwayne.
Hey, guys. How you doing? How you doing, man?
What's up?
Look, the Sixers. Bell's palsy, this dude drained.